Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. The owner is Jerry Ayers, and you will not want to miss this show today. If you're interested in UFOs, Bigfoot, spirits, and yes, even an exorcism.
Yes, I need to have an officer call me. My daughter is missing.
On July 24th, 2016, 23-year-old Kaylee Sawyer vanished from her small Oregon town.
It had to be something reasonable. It didn't even cross my mind that there was anything other than just something explainable.
Her body found days later. Urge to Kill, a new podcast from KGW News and Vault Studios.
When your life is actually on the line, everything changes.
Coming November 5th. Subscribe now.
Okay, we have Jerry Ayers with us today. He is the founder and lead investigator of Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how many members are on your team?
Right now we have only 8, but we're always looking for more.
Okay, and what exactly, I mean, do you do homes or businesses or?
We do anything paranormal, supernatural, UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, of course, all cryptids. We do houses, businesses. One of our favorites is old hospitals and abandoned buildings.
You find a lot of activity in mental hospitals or?
Well, we found activity pretty much just in any hospital, be it old nursing homes or anything like that. It just seems that sometimes when a person passes, their energy just seems to just hold right on.
Mm-hmm. I found that if it's kind of usually a tragic death or something of suicide or...
Right. The only things that we won't check out, because I really don't believe there's nothing there in that cemeteries. You know, we all are in that belief that it's a place where a person was buried. And why would they be haunting their own grave? You know, once they've died, their soul goes. I can see their soul sticking around a little bit, you know, until you're either buried or cremated. But I just don't believe in, you know, a cemetery being haunted, you know, or even like a person's ashes being haunted. I think the big thing that makes people believe that they are is just the memories they've had of that person. And they're wishing and hoping that that person would still be there. You know, but I think that, you know, people actually, I suppose they have free will once they pass. So they could actually stick around if they wanted to, but I don't see how they would be haunting their own grave site or anything like that.
Yeah, what I did find is like, kind of interesting was I did one. It was Hillview Manor. It's a place in Newcastle, Pennsylvania that used to be it housed senior citizens years ago. And there was a cemetery off that manor that part of that cemetery was taken over by a golf course. And so that they just built a golf course over top some of these unmarked graves so the people there were claiming that a lot of the spirits in the manor, Hillview Manor, was actually coming from the graves that were, the golf course was over. I found that a little bit interesting.
Yeah, you know, that is really interesting. Now, come think that we did a place up in northern Minnesota called Ogwiching. Ogwiching was a tuberculosis sanitarium many years ago for the Native Americans. And they did bash the place down. And they were supposed to move the bodies from one place to another. A lot of the bodies were never moved. They did make a park over the top of it. And one thing I thought was very strange is that they, well, not really strange, but was kind of unique, is that the hospital, all the cement and everything was crushed down to mere little pieces. And that flooring and everything else is what they crushed down. And they put it as a walkway throughout the whole lands. It was a very big, and they kept one building, which everybody would look at and think it's a gazebo. It was actually called the weather station. So the weather station's still there. The building where all the energy and everything else was is actually still there on the trails, really thick and all the way through. And with the, I don't believe that the place is haunted, definitely is. I don't believe that it's from the souls of the people that have never been moved. But I do believe that it may be related to the ones that watch over, especially the natives. I mean, this was all native done. So, you know, because supernatural or paranormal Native American is much more stronger than your regular paranormal, supernatural, ghost, whatever you want to call it. So it's quite interesting how that place is. And it's not a violent type thing. It's just, they just let you know that they're there. You know, if you bring sage and tobacco to lay down as in respect, it pretty much guarantees that you are going to communicate with someone or something.
Yeah. That was going to just get to that. My next question was that Native American. I'm going to do a couple of shows this year on the Native American because they believe almost everything that's a living plant, creature, human has a spirit. So a lot of theirs is also on burial grounds that have been tampered with, so to speak, you know, buildings being put on it or industrial sites, parking garages, you know. But yeah, that is interesting. A lot of their cultures are the same. Different tribal beliefs are the same. I mean, as far as the spirits go.
Exactly. That and also the star people and all that other stuff. It's all intertwined into one.
I've seen also you were going to do an investigation of a lake monster.
That one actually was very interesting. That's, what was it at? It was Lake Pepin, which is Lake City, Minnesota. And Pepe is a sea monster that they have inside there. And it's so strange is that the sea monster, or Pepe as they call it, Lake Pepin is exactly the same depth, width, length, everything as Loch Ness. And these sightings of this, like an identical Loch Ness monster, has gone back way through like the 16, 1700s. The natives have always talked about a sea serpent that is in the waters, and they won't go fishing in there or anything like that. It's there's a lot of paranormal activity around that place.
Yeah, I hear a lot of stories I get that come in to me about, say, the Loch Ness monster or similar serpents in the lake. Usually, a lot of them are coming from United Kingdom. A lot of activity in the UK for some reason.
Exactly. You know, and it's funny is that people have said, you know, well, if there's only one, you know, or if there's a couple of them, how come we don't find their bodies after they die? Well, it's pretty much, to me, it's well, like Bigfoot or even cryptids or, you know, your Loch Ness monster and stuff, is orcas are very interesting that you will never find an orca body laying around. When an orca dies, the others take it, dive down deep, into the caves underwater and everything and stuff it in there so it does not come back out again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a barrier type thing.
Yeah, you would think something that big would be spotted, you know, more often. Getting back to the crypto, what is a cryptid? I see you're talking about crypto zoology.
Yeah, that's a study of all sorts of different type of creatures. Bigfoot, Mothman, Dogman, all sorts of different things like that. Mythical type, but yet, you know, there's actually proof of their existence.
Okay, do you get calls on that or?
Yeah, well, you know, I always, my team, I'll kind of go back to this for a second. I'm sorry. We did a case up in International Falls. We were actually going to go up there, and it's right on the border of Minnesota and Canada. And we were going to do a Bigfoot type of investigation. So we put out that we were going to be in town. And we had a lot of people had tons of stories, so we made a radio show out of it. And we had one old man afterwards came to us and said, I didn't want to say nothing in front of everybody else, but Bigfoot comes to my farm quite a bit, and I'd like to have you guys come on out and check it out. And I thought, okay, you know, so after the show, I think it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we followed the guy out. To his place, and by God, if we didn't find footprints. And these footprints are, they're very long strides, and they were like 22 inches. And I started thinking, you know, I'm one person that I don't believe nothing unless I've seen it, even if it comes to the paranormal, the supernatural, whatever. And I said to my team, I said, well, okay, guys, here's what we need to look for. Stilts. And they're like, stilts? I said, yeah, we need to find out if there is something here or if this guy has faked it all. So we looked around for stilts, anything that's cut into a large footprint. And the more I started looking at the terrain this was on, which was, well, like bog, a lot of bog and stuff like that, there was no possible way that someone could be on stilts walking across it. It would have to be a bipedal type of creature. So to me, there was a possibility of Bigfoot. That this old man didn't do it. Nobody in his family, no human, actually made these prints. But my wife at that time was, oh my God, it's Bigfoot. I told you it's here. I said, we didn't see it. You know, we've seen what we possibly think could be evidence, but we never seen it. So we can't say for sure that we've seen it. Until 2015, and I was up in Bena, Minnesota, and I was driving, and there was this very large river, and it looked to me like an elk trying to get up from the ground. It was having a tough time. I pulled over, and I was watching. I'm from Bemidji. I live now in Otsego, Minnesota, down by Minneapolis, and I kind of pulled over, and I was watching it, and it got up on 2 feet, and I thought, oh, it's got to be a bear, you know. There's no way that there's an elk, but it didn't have the bulbous rear end, you know, the short legs, long body, if a bear stands up, you know. And then it turned and started walking towards the woods. And I never wanted to take my eyes off of it. I kept my hand on my camera trying to open it up with one hand, but I didn't want to take my eyes off. And the big thing that made me think that there was intelligence is that it looked towards the sun, put its hand up like it's shading the light from its eyes to look across the river. And then it turned and kind of looked towards me and then walked away. And it was like 8 or 9 feet tall. It had, it was kind of a lightish, darkish brown, but it had a huge gray patch on its left side. And by the time I got my camera open, I pulled the camera up to take pictures, but it had already emitted in the woods. So, I mean, you could see something, but I can't say that that was Bigfoot from the camera picture I got. And I went to go and to meet where my wife was and her team. She has a team of Bigfoot ladies called Squatch Hers. They're all female Bigfoot team. And they travel around all over the place, mostly in Minnesota. And I called her up and I said, you're not going to believe this, you know? And she's like, where? And so when I got to this bar that we were all going to meet at, she said, well, we're going to do a squatch chat is what they call them. She said, I want you to say what you've seen. And I said, absolutely not. I said, you know that our team, Sim, we look for this kind of stuff and your team should too. I said, I'm not telling anybody where this is exactly, you know, whatsoever. So we were sitting there and they agreed we weren't going to talk about it. And this old man came up and he said, I got one that comes to my bar all the time. I think he's really old, and started saying what he looked like. And he said, he's got a brown patch, a gray patch on his back. I said, is it on the right shoulder? He goes, no, it's on the left. And I thought, that's it. Now I'm 100% sure what I seen was a Bigfoot.
Same type of description that you had.
Yep, exactly. The same thing, but I tried to trick him a little bit by saying it was on the right side. And he's like, no, it was on the left side. And it was like, that's what did it for me, that, you know, there is a Bigfoot, and I really did see it. You know, I'm kind of bummed that it didn't have a picture of it, but, you know, our goal with any kind of cryptid, be it Bigfoot, Dogman, Mothman, anything like that, is that we want to prove to ourselves that it's there. Our followers, our listeners, and our fans and stuff like that, you know, that's fine. If we have a picture, that's great. We'll show it, but we'll never tell where it is.
It seems like a lot of the Bigfoot stories are coming out of Minnesota.
There has been so many sightings and everything. Now she's my ex-wife now, so we'll jump forward even further. but they have not yet seen him or her. They believe that she is or he is out there, but it's for them to say that they want to believe this, but they can't say it for sure because they haven't seen it. I'll tell you, it's really interesting, though, but you get out in the woods, a lot of dangers out there you got to really watch out for.
Mm-hmm. Now I was curious, they've never found any skeletons like a Bigfoot.
What's that, skeleton?
Oh, yeah, like skeletal remains, if you know, when they die.
Well, that's another thing. See, that's where I'm going back to the same thing as orcas. Because if you're out in the woods, what's the chance of finding a bear carcass or anything like that? These are natural. So it's like, I'm not saying that a bear will carry off another bear. No, but other animals will eat it because it's natural. Now, a human body, you see it out there in the woods years later. And there's a lot of times that there's going to be flesh or hair and stuff like that because no animal is going to eat us, really. They may take a couple bites and spit out and go, oh, that's disgusting, because of all the different toxins we have in our bodies. But when it comes to the more natural thing, deer, bear, raccoon, you may see a bone here and there. But with Bigfoot, or anything like that, or even Dogman, I believe that those are things that are carried off by the others.
Now, have you come across anything that was like a demon?
We did, as a matter of fact. It was a place in Clara City. And that, as a matter of fact, they're actually making a TV show out of that with the people that we went out to help. I wish we were on that show, but we're not. But no, we ran across it, and we were quite amazed. Our second time with demonic. And we were actually able to get it out of the house. And how we knew, and as a matter of fact, on our website, siminnesota.com, the videos are on there. We did an investigation and a lot of response. And then when we were doing the clearing, that's where everything started happening. Everything from voices. At one point, and it's, like I said, the video's on there, and it was live video. The owner wanted to videotape while we were doing the clearings and the cleansings. And so I did the regular native way of doing it. And my ex-wife now, she was with the team, and she said, you know, I seen a house clearing kit in your, uh, in your car. She goes, may I use that? I said, sure. It's actually an exorcism kit that was given to me by Reverend Michael Schrader, an exorcist that's, to me, is one of the best around. And she started reading. They started reading passages from the Bible, and she was going around putting crosses and holy water on the windows. And the first one was a voice. The second one was more interesting. She just put the crosses on. Tony's reading from the Bible, and all of a sudden, the crucifix, all four of the rivets that were holding Jesus onto that crucifix, just flew across the room, broke, and they stopped. Stephanie kept telling them, keep going, you know. And it was only in a 4x6 area. They pulled everything out of there, and there was nothing. They never found it. And to this day, they've still never found that part of the crucifix.
So you do believe on moving a spirit on, rather than, because I ask almost every paranormal investigator that's been on the show, do you believe on moving a spirit on, or are you just killing the spirit?
No, when it comes to that, we'll do, you know, we don't move them on. We give them the choice to move on, unless it's demonic. If it's demonic, then we're in for a fight. But if somebody says they got a house and they've got doors slamming shut and everything, doesn't mean it's demonic. You know, we'll go there and speak to the spirit and find different ways and ask it to, you know, if they want us to help it to move out, and it can always come back because it was their house before it was theirs. Why kick them out? You know,
right? Years ago, when I started getting into this, I went to the priest in our church and I was telling him what I was doing. And, to my surprise, he sat down with me. I was trying to get some type of exorcism story out of him, but that wasn't going to happen. But, he was telling me, you know, if normally, like when they go into a house and bless a home or bless a building, they just move the spirit on to the light or, but he said, be very careful because there's a thin line between, like you say, like moving a spirit on, you know, give them a choice, or if it's a demon, that's a completely different ballpark. And so a lot of the investigators I have talked to don't believe, well, they're not, either not Christian or they're atheist, so they don't believe in moving it on because they're what's on, you know, because they don't believe there's a heaven or a hell, so they are just killing the spirit.
Right. Well, you know, I kind of do. I believe that there's a heaven and a hell. I also believe too that, you know, that is, how can I say it? I mean, it's you've got so many religions around. Which ones to say that it isn't right or isn't wrong? You know, I mean, even the Native Americans pretty much have it put down, you know, the right way. You know, it's the great mystery or the creator, because that is the one that created all the heavens and created the earth and everything else and stuff. So the religious part of it, I don't think I want to go too far into this. There's just, you know, there's so many ways. I mean, you'll know, you know, if you take your time and listen and everything to what's there at these people's houses. If there's an odor, or if there's water showing up in odd areas that it's never been before. If there's sometimes a film that's on the windows that's dark and nasty. If there's bugs, if there's you know, all sorts of things going on, that's usually a sign that, you know, that it either A, they have an unkept home, or B, it's a dark energy that's there. And some houses, like I said, other ones that we've done and stuff, if a person keeps their house untidy and just dirty and just filthy and stuff, that's creating chaos and confusion. And that's a big part to, in Star Wars, you could say, going to the dark side, you know, And it's rather interesting, but just seeing all the signs that's there, you know, and when people get afraid of it and they don't want to deal with it, so then they call in somebody else, you know, your own fear can manifest it too. So that's probably a good thing that a person did. And that's not to, you know, scoff at anybody for not handling it themselves, but it's a tough thing.
Right. How did your wife feel when that cross flew across the room? I mean,
she did. She is tough, and she handled that really good. Tony, on the other hand, was wow. He was pretty much beside himself. And the big thing also was there's a third video inside there of that exact same place. Three things happened. Is when we were upstairs and Tony was reading from the Bible again. You know, it's read in every single room, and Steph was putting more crosses on the window. Tony was standing there, and this giant ball of light comes down and hits him right in the medicine bag. I make medicine bags too if people want to use them. I do, because I believe in them, the protection. But it hit the medicine bag, and it shot out this big black mass that just went into the wall and dissipated. And that is, if you go to my website and take a look at that, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. www.siminnesota.com. And I showed it to Reverend Michael Schrader, and he said, wow, number one, Jerry, he said the voice was incredible. And number two, the cross breaking like that and you never finding the Jesus part of it, you are dealing with a high level demon, because only they can break religious artifacts. And he said, and number three, to what some people would think is an angelic sign coming down into a white orb and striking Tony on the chest, though he doesn't believe in medicine bags, stuff like that, and then exploding out in that black mass. And they have never had any problems in that house since that time. The Reverend, when he seen the video, he was quite shocked. There's more video too, but there's actually some video that the owners of the place did not want shown. And also too, to be honest, most people would see that, and it would really, really scare the heck right out of them. I mean, it was pretty bad. So we decided not to put that in. We do show it in private showings when we do what we call supernatural chats. We will show people then. Yeah, we won't allow anybody to take any copies of it or anything like that. We found one guy once with a pen camera, and he's been at our supernatural chats many times. And then I noticed this certain pen that he had, and I asked him, I said, can I use your pen? Oh, it's not working. I said, yes, it is. I said, you're taking video, and I want that out. I don't want that. This is a public thing, but, you know, respect us, we'll respect you.
On your UFOs, have you do any investigations?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we've been on many. As a matter of fact, over in Wisconsin, at Elmwood, Wisconsin, they do UFO days. It's always the last weekend of September. They've actually had quite a few sightings and close encounters there over the years since 1972 to 2019. And it's we go there, we talk about them. You know, one of my big things about UFOs, which I brought it up on a recent show that some people had me on, and they're always like, well, you know, UFOs, it's hard to tell UFOs from drones, especially nowadays. You know, back in the day, you know, that UFOs were manned by aliens. I said, really? Have you ever seen one of these aliens? And they're like, no. So that goes back to the Bigfoot, you know, until I seen it, I believe that there's possibility of it. But, you know, after seeing it, I knew it was there. But with UFOs, who's to say that there is actual aliens in there? If we now have the advanced technology to make drones ourselves, who's to say that they haven't been flying drones around for 20, 30, 40, 50 years? They're far more advanced, technologically advanced than we are.
Last year I did a four-part series on UFOs over Trumbull County. That's the county I live in. And I had two friends of mine on two different police departments that chased these things. And it would happen over a three-night period. And over 10 law enforcement departments were chasing these things. And yet, I mean, the TV crew were there, but there was nothing ever put on the news, or they kept it a top secret. And the funny thing is, after talking to my buddies that were police officers, the chasees, they know what they saw. They know what they chased. It took out the lights and all the electronic equipment. And this is back in 1994. So you can go on YouTube or Google and check out the UFOs over Trumbull County. And it's quite interesting that I thought it was a complete huge cover-up by the government. So it's interesting how, you know, if it's top secret, well, it doesn't have to be alien, so to speak. I mean, something from outer space. It could be, you know, our own equipment. I don't know, you know. But what my buddies saw when they were chasing these UFOs was, and it was going over an interstate with tons of traffic at a low speed, like, and the speed limit was, I think, 55 at the time. These things are going like 25 mile an hour. And then all of a sudden it would go from 50 feet above the ground to out of sight in about 2 seconds. The military is saying that they were weather balloons. Well, my buddy says, I've seen a weather balloon. It was no way a weather balloon. But it was kind of funny that all the law enforcement that chased these things had to say it was a weather balloon.
Oh, yeah. That's really interesting. If I may, back in 1970, it was. I was, how old was I? I was like 7 years old. 72 it was. So I was 9 years old, and I was huge on UFOs. I never thought about Bigfoots, but I thought of UFOs. My mother worked at the audiovisual department in Bemidji, Minnesota for the high school. And his boss, who was, I can't remember his name, Professor Klein, his mother lived in Lake Mobile, Minnesota, which is just a few miles out of Bemidji. And one Sunday morning, and during the wintertime, she got up, had the newspaper, and was drinking her coffee and looked out over the lake. There was only three houses on the lake at that time, and watched the ice start to bubble right almost directly in the middle. And she sat there and watched it, and this ship came out, and believe it or not, these legs came out, and it landed. You know, it came out, and they were on top of the ice. So the first thing she did, she was scared. She was there by herself and everything. Her husband had passed many years ago. She called the sheriff's department. So the sheriff said they were going to send somebody out. The sheriff himself on that Sunday, and a new deputy, by the name of Sim, were going out there. And as they were pulling into her driveway, that ship flew overhead. And the deputy, this was his first day on the job, he said, "Oh my God, how do we write this up?" And the sheriff said, "You didn't see nothing. You want to keep this job, you didn't see a thing." So they got there, and she described what she had seen and everything. And but they said, "Okay, you know, we'll take your report. We'll send it in." It was less than a few days later, government was there. The men in black, you know, you could pretty much say Project Blue Book probably, but they say that there was no such thing back in those days, a Project Blue Book. Well, they were taking all sorts of readings and stuff, and they followed tracks that went from that hole that they followed out for, oh my gosh, I think it was like 1,000 feet. And then the track stopped. There was just nothing there. And this was into the woods and stuff that they went, which is strange. If there's no tracks, where did that person or whatever go? And they came back and they went to all different houses and asked them, "Did you take any pictures?" And people gave up the film. She did not. She took pictures. She went down there right after the sheriff went down there and stuff and started taking pictures of, took like 6 or 8 pictures, and she refused to, you know, to give that up. She said, no, I didn't take it. I don't have a camera. And they actually did find her camera. They looked in her house for a camera, and they took the film out, and the film was brand new. You know, you can, so it was like the 110 film back in those days. And so they, you know, they left it and everything. Well, months later, she decided to have them printed. So she went to another town and had it done and brought it back to show her son. And he knew through my mother that I was big into UFOs. So he gave 3 photos of those to me. And I had them, and I just couldn't believe it. It showed the site. It showed the different markings. It showed footprints walking away, going towards the woods. And I was pumped for it. And I collected all sorts of stuff from Bemidji that the Bemidji newspaper at that time was having UFO sightings way before this even happened. So there was tons of pictures in the Pioneer. It's called Bemidji Pioneer. Anyway, so I had all those. And I put them together, and I decided I wanted to send this to Project Blue Book. So Mom helped me find the address. And I know it sounds foolish, and I don't know why I sent put those pictures in there. I was a kid, you know. I was excited. So I sent them, and it was like, oh, gosh. It was quite a while, 4, 5, 6 months maybe, I think it was. My envelope came back, and it was stamped, no such department. No such address, none of this, no zone, no nothing, all that stuff. I opened it up and those photos were gone. That was the first time she was ever afraid of our government. So interesting enough, we did in 2011 or 2012, we did a supernatural chat in my hometown, Bemidji. And this old man came with his son, and he said, he goes, I want you to meet my father. And I said, sure. I said, hi, I'm Jerry Harris. And he said, I'm Deputy Sim. And I went, Deputy Sim? He said, yeah. He said, on that case at Lake Mobile, he said, I was there. That was my first day. And then he told me the story about the sheriff telling him, no, you can't discuss it. You know, you'll get fired and stuff. So he said, I held it until just now when you came, because you talked about that once on a radio show we heard up here. I thought, wow, you know, that's pretty incredible. So he also helped me get a transcript from 1985 that was done in Cass Lake, Minnesota, on Star Island. That was the same thing. UFO underground in the wintertime, bubbling of the ice, landed, tracks walking away 1,000 yards, boom. It was just gone. And those have been published out. I have that in my possession, and it's pretty incredible. I wish I had the original of 1972 in Bemidji, but I don't. And trying to find anything on that, because it was in the paper. I can't even find it in the paper nowadays.
You have the calling radio show?
Yes. I've been doing it since 2012, and we talked to all sorts of different people, everything from, you know, it's paranormal and supernatural, but once in a while I'll break away from it, you know, like the murdered and missing indigenous women, bring up different topics like that, and also the climate change. I'll bring that up once in a while just to do a show on it.
Is that a podcast or is that?
It's a live show on ParaX. RadioNetwork.com. It's a live show every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, we have a great time. It's, yeah, the calling. Yeah, it's a blast. You know, it's, you know, I know when you asked me to come on the show, I was like, yeah, another fellow guy that is into this kind of stuff. Sure, I'd be delighted.
Yeah, I've been following it for quite a while, and it's always interesting to get other people's perspectives or a different angle on how to look at something, you know.
Right.
You have something on there. I see it's a Paracon. Was that a convention?
Yes, it's a Paracon that's every year. That was up in Monoman. I don't know if they're going to have them anymore. They had some issues and stuff, but there is one coming up in Duluth. It's Minnesota Para Unity Con, and that's put on by Mike O'Neill of Odyssey Paranormal Society, and he's got all sorts of people lined up for that entertainment. That's going to be October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 2020. And yeah, we're very excited. We got a table, and you know, we can't wait to. My favorite, personal favorite, is Lauren Coleman. I get a charge out of that guy. You know, quick story about him. He was at a Paracon, and we did 2 years ago, and he was like, "Where can I find a map?" And I go, "What do you need a map for?" And he's like, "Well, I need a map so that people, when they tell me about different cases of Bigfoot, they can write it down, and UFOs too." And I thought, oh, okay, well, we'll get you one, you know. So I drove all over the place. Now, this is in northwestern Minnesota. I couldn't find a Minnesota map to save my soul. I could actually find Wisconsin, and that's on the east side of Minnesota, you know. So finally, I was going to one, and I was, you know, I had been gone for a while. And so I broke the speed limit, and I went. This local cop pulled me over. He was going to give me a ticket. And I told him, I just started laughing, and I started telling him about what I'm trying to do and stuff like that. And he said, "Okay, I'm not going to give you a ticket," he says, "but drive carefully. There's a speedway right up here." He says, "Go there. They should have them." I said, "Oh, okay." Well, I didn't, you know, I drove fast and stuff like that. His partner was there in a undercover car. And they were going to give me a ticket just for speeding until I said, "Oh, come on, man, ask your partner, you know." And then he, you know, I got off of it. But anyway, I brought it back. I made a good story for Lauren and everything. And there was a lot of people that put down places for UFO and Bigfoot. And if I know this is your show, but can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What do you believe? Is there a coalition between Bigfoot and UFOs? What do you think about that?
I never really thought about it. That's a great question.
Yeah, a lot of people are claiming that where UFOs are, there's usually Bigfoot. You know, Lauren Coleman, when I asked him that, actually my co-host asked him that, and he looked at me and he said, "Next question." He said, "That's so stupid." He doesn't believe that there is a correlation between Bigfoot and UFOs, but who's to say that UFOs are not wondering what Bigfoot is, especially them being interdimensional beings?
I never thought about that.
Yeah. See, we're pretty smart up here in Minnesota.
Oh, yes, you are.
But no, it was an interesting question that I asked somebody, and it was the guys from Cryptovania TV, and they're like, "Whoa, we never thought about that." And I'm like, "Yeah, because they believe that, you know, like Bigfoot, some believe that Bigfoot is interdimensional, where others think, no, they're just an animal, and that UFOs are probably, you know, are part of it, you know, because you have Kitsisabe, which is Bigfoot with the Chippewa, and they believe big time in the star people also. So, you know, pretty much, well, I mean, if you take a look at it, really, supernatural and paranormal, they're all related together in a way.
That's a huge field. Anything you want to close out the show with?
I really appreciate, I like following you on Twitter. You got an excellent Twitter account. And, you know, I really appreciate you you allowing me to come on your show and to talk a little paranormal.
Thank you, Jerry, for being on today, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank Jerry Aris for being on the show today. Jerry is from Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. I will leave Jerry's links at the bottom of this podcast. As always, we will see you in 2 weeks with another great episode of Ghosts in the Valley.